Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for Dungeon Masters work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, a.k.a. Jote Maniac.
And it's me, your other host, DM Celeste, a.k.a. Sea Witch. What are we doing here today, Neil?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. We're going from zero to hero, just like anybody does in the gym. Yeah. You start at a point and they're trying to be, they're trying to look like Henry Cavill. I don't know. That's my goal,
I guess. I want to look like Henry Cavill, so yeah.
Get it. Sure. Sign me up. So this is an interesting exercise to work through the planned progression of a character. I wasn't able to find mainly Diablo 3 images because that's my, as Celeste would say, that's my gym jam. But because it shows like, oh, what do you look like at level one? What do you look like at level 70 with, you know, with the tiered gear?
Yeah, so cool skull armors and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like playing through that mental exercise, because I know as like DMs, one of the other things to do with that same exercise is to think about your NPCs. Thinking about not everyone just stays the same while the characters progress.
And they shouldn't.
It makes the world feel more real. Yeah. So that's the thing.
Cool.
That is it right there. That will be the exercise.
Let's do it.
Do you know what we should do?
What?
We should head to the exercise already in progress.
Well, I think that's smashing.
Which featured Eliza Grant, who used to work for Dungeons & Dragons.
What? What is that? Is that a game?
Well, okay. Well, this is going to have to start back at the beginning. Long ago, in a distant land.
There was a guy named Gary Gygax.
There was a Gygax. So for this one, we're also going to tie it back to DMnastics number 73, Turning Zeros into Heroes, which took me longer to set up than most of the ones that I do, because I had to find very, very specific style of pictures to add to this one, because essentially it's finding an image that shows the progression of a character. In the end, it was essentially a lot of stuff from video games, because that's often a marketing tool that they show. Like, this is where you start. This is the middle. This is the end. Namely, it's just getting cooler stuff. But that's where I ended up finding all of these images.
Well, and you also had to find the YouTube music video of the hit Disney Hercules song, Zero to Hero, which is...
That was the easy part.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the best song from Hercules, make no doubt. But yeah, these are actually some awesome images that you found. And it makes me think of back in the old 3.5 days, if you had the epic level handbook, it was images of the characters from the player's handbook, but all epicked out, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you had Krusk, only what did he look like as a level 20 plus barbarian, and all of those great Hennet the Sorcerer with his weird belt outfit. That was just belts up to his chest.
That's right.
Yeah. And he, you know, he was there with Ioun stones sort of flying around his head and everything. It was really, really cool to see. And that's what all of these images made me think of. Only you've got also the steps in between, too, right? So we've got the, you know, low-level equipment version all the way on the left, and then all the way on the right, we've got the super powerful. They look more jacked, but they've also got way, way better equipment than they did, which is great.
Yeah, which, I mean, it is a great visual representation, what I think a lot of players strive for. While there is, of course, story elements that they want. Like, if they look the same as the first guy through the entire thing, maybe the game will be fulfilling. But I think it'll be more fulfilling if they look like the last guy by the end.
Sure, yeah, you've got somewhere to go. And, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting is the bulk all of these characters acquire as they go from left to right. You know, like, they all start with so much less stuff, and then by the end they have amazing huge armor and huge staves and weapons and all kinds of great stuff. So it's fun to see just how much stuff they acquire, because to me that is part of D&D too. Like, a first level character has nothing under the equipment section on the character sheet. And then by the end, you've got all this more things than you realized you had, typically. Like, oh yeah, I forgot I had those 30 flasks of alchemist fire, right? So it's fun.
The DM reminded you when you fell over, though, and they all exploded.
That's right.
Cool. So which one from the forum did you want to highlight?
So I want to highlight Blake Ryan, who is a great person. He is always active in the community on various social networks and things. And Blake chose image number 5, which is this progression of a magic user who seems to even start very young and gets older, like has no beard, fresh faced at the time that he starts. And then by the end, not only does he have a long, luxurious old man beard, but he has become something else almost entirely. He's got a weird bug leg. He's got like a hunchback that looks like it has horns coming out of his hunchback as well as his head. He's got all kinds of, you know, magic staves and stuff. He's got bugs crawling all over him. And one of the reasons I like this one so much is that I thought as a DM, it was a great way to see Zero to Hero, how an NPC could start out one way and go the other and, you know, become something much older. So if you're playing a long campaign, this is a great way to seed in a villain down the lines. Maybe they start as an ally, young and fresh faced with the characters, skip ahead 20 years. Now they're, you know, a crazy old man necromancer.
I think my favorite piece of this is that if you look at the final image, hanging off of his staff is what looks like almost like an action figure of exactly what he looked like in the very first image.
Right. Yeah. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And that's a really nice detail. The artist who made this, DKZ, really knows what they are doing here. Yeah. I do love that little detail. And so Blake tells the story of Markov the Warlock to the Great Old One, you know, which is like a warlock to Cthulhu, basically, finds this ancient tome in a library and he uses it to start to begin to gain arcane power. Eventually, right, he gains this dagger of venom and a serpent staff. And then, you know, he's giving each level sort of where is he at this level? So then at 7th level, he sacrifices his apprentice. And this is when you can start to see like, oh, this is starting to take a dark turn, right? And he does this in exchange for power and ancient secrets. And that's when he is blessed with a weird insect leg and a second heart. So I love that added detail of like, it's not just happening, you know, on the outside. This character is experiencing changes within their own body as well as within their psyche. And you're starting to get that. Blake goes on to say, right at 11th level, he's made several trips into the Feywild, gathered cult followers. Some of them are Yuan-Ti. And then at 15th level, the cult has worked their mischief in 2 cities and 3 towns. However, now paladin orders and a dwarf clan are hunting Markov. Finally, at 20th level, where we have this great image, even though his cult has been rooted out, Markov has a remaining 4 followers that travel between the planes and they attack various religious leaders and seek out artifacts for bizarre rituals, still trying presumably to increase their power. And I love that because this really does suggest, this series of images really does suggest a person who is seeking power at all costs. Their body becomes more deformed. They start to, you know, they lose an eye at one point. They're letting their hygiene go to waste all for the sake of more power. So Blake Ryan, big shout out. This is a great evocative story to go along with this picture.
Yeah, and it's another cool way, and you had kind of alluded to it, to keep the story of this NPC progressing regardless of how the PCs interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they could essentially interact with him at any point during this. And these are the steps that they've taken. And you know, and it could be the recurring villain where they're able to get away. And then that's their story continues as the PCs level up until they are a threat that needs to be handled.
Totally. Right. And I could see like, you know, their first interaction with this guy, maybe they're going to investigate the murder of his apprentice. And they find out that he did it, but at that point, he's retreated into the Feywild. And then, you know, a few sessions later, comes back from the Feywild now with his cult of Yuan-Ti. Like, so there's a lot of fun to be had, I think, with the story progression and how you can weave PCs in and out of the story of a character like this.
Definitely.
So what about you, Neil? What was your favorite entry from the forums?
So I want to give a shout out to Zenith, who told the tale and truly told the tale of Navik Nimbleheart, the halfling. The image is pretty simple. It's got what looks like a halfling squire. And then by the end, it is a halfling knight of the highest esteem, a laureled hilt, like a swan-shaped helmet on top, and decked out from head to toe. I won't really go through what they've presented because it is long and amazing.
Yes, very dense, but a great read, right?
Yeah, go check it out. And it's not even just part of the story. Like, they've written probably hundreds and hundreds of words about the story of the progression of Navik. And I think it's also a cool example, the two working in conjunction with each other. Like, when I present the idea of a DMnastics, how it's interpreted is really interesting to me as well. You know, Blake's, you know, taking the whole thing step by step in this almost NPC feel, and then Zenith just taking it to heart and really telling the story of this character almost from like the background perspective of a PC that started at a little bit higher level. So definitely head over to the forums and check this one out because it is awesome.
Yeah, I love this one a lot, and I love the picture a lot because you really go from almost a picture of what looks like a squire, right? Like, his sword looks like it's wooden in this first picture. He's got his little emblem is like stitched on in rough patches, and then by the end he just is this amazing knight that is, you know, the total opposite. And he really took this and ran with it, and I think is a fun way to show like how you could always start with a character who almost seems like they're there for comic relief or humor, and by the end of a campaign, have them really have grown into something else. Like, imagine if the funny little squire who's like plucky and swears to the characters they're going to be an adventurer someday and everybody will know their name saves their butt at the end of the campaign. You know, that's really fun, I think. So, and the other thing, like, I really do love the progression of this symbol. I think that the symbol really tells you a lot about this character, right? That they first, it's this rough patchwork, almost looks like a cross, right?
Yeah.
And then in the next, they have it more emblazoned, looks more professionally done on their tunic. And then in the final image, they have it all over themselves. So it's obvious in all of the pictures, this is a constant in this character's life. This god or this order or whatever has always been important to this character, so much so that they felt they needed to pay homage even when they couldn't afford a nice holy symbol or artistic rendering of whatever this symbol is, which is cool.
Awesome. So the next thing we're going to do, of course, is lift the mental weights right now.
I like it. Let's do it.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
Let's lift some weights, sir.
Have you heard the hilarious bumper that I put in there now? Because Morgan said there should be one.
Oh, yes. It is pretty awesome. So I am a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Morgan, you know?
Agreed.
He's pretty much the best there is, Neil. And that is why, actually, I want to talk to you about Morgan the Mighty.
Yes.
So Morgan the Mighty, if you're on the forums, it's picture number 4, which is this sort of barbarian looking 3-picture progression. It starts out with a guy who's like a gladiator and then moves on. He's got better armor and a bigger axe. And then his final image is, you know, he's got this big horned helm, this enormous, almost champion, world wrestling championship girdle kind of belt across his midsection, big, big boots, and just an axe that looks like it is impossible to swing for a normal human. And so Morgan the Mighty is here, and he's a gladiator. And that's sort of how the story goes, is he started out, he thought it would be real flashy to use 2 axes, and got started later in life as a gladiator because he was an old soldier. And when he came back from the war, didn't know what to do to pay his bills. So he took to the arena.
Ooh, awesome.
And yeah, he started to gain fame and recognition. And eventually, as his armor got heavier, the more he could afford, he moved to a more brutal style of fighting with just 1 2-handed axe rather than 2 1-handed axes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to be able to dish out more damage, and he found that was more effective. The heavier his armor got, the harder it got to wield 2 different weapons at the same time. So he settled on really big hits with 1 weapon, and now he is Morgan the Mighty, champion of the people. And the skull helm that he wears actually comes from one of his battles, in where he fought a summoner who summoned a great Balor, and now he uses the Balor's skull as his helmet.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy, or at least meet that guy.
I know. So do I. So how about you? What did you want to lift with?
Well, I mean, I really like that one, especially giving that grizzled old veteran style and then helping them progress. Because I feel like a lot of us are conditioned to think of younger characters going on quests. And like, that's where they're starting out. But I mean, you start at any age in life and in gaming. I don't know. I was trying to be motivational. If it motivated you, good. If it didn't, that's fine too. But I think it's super cool to have like that grizzled veteran, especially when they I'm trying to think of what would make it so they were forced to be a gladiator.
Mm. I mean, there's always, right, most gladiators were slaves. Historically speaking, they were prisoners of war who were then forced to fight. Granted, fantasy worlds, it's different, right? Like in Skyrim, or not in Skyrim, in Oblivion, you can just go and fight for yourself because you want to.
Mm-hmm. Which is literally the first thing I would do in the game. I would get out of the sewers, I would fast travel to the arena, I would defeat the arena, and then I would realize later that I've not done enough for the main quest, and never finished it because it got too hard. Because it scales with your level, and I made bad choices and didn't do any of it.
But it makes sense. I did the exact same thing, by the way. Yep. But yeah, I think this idea that people are prisoners of war who are then forced to fight makes perfect sense to me. Because if this is a form of entertainment in a society, and then you're going out and capturing soldiers, that's a great way to capitalize on the skills those soldiers have, is to force them to fight each other for the entertainment of others, right? So that idea, I think, to me makes sense. The other reason could be if somebody is doing it for money, they could be forced into it because they're down on their luck, or because the mob boss who runs the gladiatorial arena, you know, is threatening their family or loved ones or that sort of thing. Like, there's all kinds of ways you can force a person to fight if you wanted to. From a fantasy perspective, that is. In real life, I do not recommend gladiatorial combat as a profession or exploitation ring.
Okay. Well, I think that's also good advice. So, for the one I wanted to do is actually number 7, because it's the monk. We're already laughing because of what I wrote on the forums, but it's the monk from Diablo 3. And I wrote that it looks like DM main prize. And it does. If you know what he looks like and you go see this image, you will realize that it is probably, in fact, the DM main prize stood in for the artist on this one.
Yeah, totally. It is the spitting image, I would say, of DM main prize for sure.
But I love the first image because it's, or the first piece of this image, because it really is, does look like a starting character, almost that this monk could easily be on the battlefield or in a temple. Like, there's almost no differentiation between the attire. But then by the end, they're just covered in like this crazy armor on their arms that, like, that's all it covers. So all I can think is that it just is made of clay or something like that and just gives them exponentially more power. And it also makes me think of really cool ways to give a monk something that would make them look cooler. Because I feel like that's a difficult thing sometimes in games where, you know, they can't wear armor or they can't wear, you know, so they have small magical items. Mm-hmm. But like, using this as inspiration, I'd love to have someone play a monk in one of my games now so that I could kind of give better descriptive ways on how they look super cool instead of just a guy in a loincloth still.
Yeah, and it's funny, I often think that that's like part of the appeal of the monk, that the monk always looks like an unsuspecting individual. But now that I see these pictures, I'm like, oh, but your monk could also look like he has amazing robot arms, you know, and that's what it seems like these big stone arms that right where the elbow joint is, they have these big plates that give the impression that like when he winds up for a punch, it can add more power, like Matt Damon in that movie with the weird suit that he gets attached to him. Know what I'm talking about?
Elysium.
Yes, Elysium. That's the one. Yeah, you know, it has that feel almost to me of like, it's not just armor, it's enhancing the strength of this character who fights only using his fists. In this case, Brother Main Prize of the Order of the Clay Fist.
Of the Order of Matt Damon.
That's right. I like it.
Cool. Well, sir, I think we have done it once again.
you like listening to that episode. If you did, you should absolutely go to your podcatcher of choice and leave us some stars. Sprinkle some stars on the rating. And you know what? If you really like us, leave us a review so people can hear, you know, what you like about the show. And then maybe they'll pick it up as well. And of course, it's always a great idea. If you have somebody who you think would enjoy the show, let them know, you know, send them an episode. Just say, hey, buddy, like, let's get together at the gym. And when your friend goes, oh, no, not the gym, you go, ha, it's fine. It's virtual.
Yay.
And that's a gift you can share with your friends. So please do it.
And if you want to share a gift with us about how these episodes have impacted you and your game, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And of course, if you head over to Twitter, we are at dmnastics. That's all lowercase, all one word. And Celeste is at Sikanowicz, and I am at Jotemaniac. And for the rest of the network, it's blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
And a huge thank you, as always, to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music. You can find out more about Bombarded at bombardedcast.com.
And with that, we're going to turn out the lights, head out of the gym. But before we go, we want to implore you, the listener, to join up the forums, the Discord, anywhere you can find us, and join these conversations and exercises being had.
To do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some damnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?